وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his choicest blessings on you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank for all the sacrifices that you make for his beautiful deen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings he has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about spending on the musafir and the traveler. The Arabic word Ibn Sabil refers to a traveler. It often occurs that travelers, while on a journey, run short of funds or are robbed. Importance should be given to spending on such people should their condition become evident. It is not necessary for them to inform one in order for one to spend on them. However, if through some means one finds out about their condition, one should offer help. Should a traveler who comes from a wealthy home run into dire straits while traveling, then spending on him will also reap rewards. The order to give beggars. The next recipient mentioned is the beggar. Amongst this group, there are various types. Some are truly in need and should be aided. There are others regarding whom it cannot really be said if they are worthy of receiving charity, although outwardly they may seem deserving. These people may also be given charity. The prohibition from adopting begging as a trade. It is permissible for a person to beg when he does so out of necessity, to avert starvation or any other pressing need. However, it will be totally prohibited to adopt begging as a profession. Those habituated to begging intentionally continue to do so, thereby amassing large amounts of wealth. Such people should not be assisted. In this world, they shamelessly pretend to be beggars, and indeed in the next world, they will truly be disgraced. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person who asks of people their wealth so that he may accumulate riches is asking for smoldering coals, which he will receive in hell. So he may ask for more or for less." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned, "A person will continue begging of people in this world until he will arrive on a day of judgment without a bit of flesh upon his face. By merely looking at his face, people will know that he was a beggar. The honor of his face will be lost there, just as it is evident in this very world." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, "It is not permissible for such a person to beg who is wealthy and the person who is in good physical condition. An exception will only be made when these people are driven to the ground by absolute necessity. That is, they have nothing except the bare ground, or they are involved in a debt which will debase them. The person who begs of people merely to amass wealth will appear on the day of judgment with his face stripped of any flesh. His wealth shall be transformed into a smoldering coal of fire and fed to him. So if he desires, let him either ask for more or for less. Every person has been shown his responsibility. The beggar should abstain, and the one being begged from should spend when the opportunity presents itself. He should not rebuke the beggar, since one cannot be certain of the beggar's condition. At the same time, he should seek to give those who are truly deserving. The ruling is as follows, that the person who is begging in a masjid should not be given anything. Spending on the emancipation of slaves. The final recipient mentioned in this verse are the riqab. This is the plural of raqaba, which literally means a neck, referring to a slave. In his tafsir, Allama Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi writes that this refers to the freeing of those slaves who are called mukatibs. These are those slaves, the masters of whom have promised freedom upon the payment of an agreed sum. It is also considered an act of virtue and great reward to assist these people financially. The commentator Baydawi rahmatullahi alayhi writes that the general application of this verse includes paying the ransom of prisoners of war, as well as the buying and subsequent freeing of slaves. In the past, jihad, which is a religious war, used to be fought only for Allah according to the principles of the Sharia. As a result, all prisoners would become slaves. Nowadays, jihad, religious war, is not waged for this noble cause. Neither is it according to the rules of the Sharia. Therefore, no person may become the owner of another. The establishment of Salah and the offering of Zakah. This injunction is stipulated after that of spending in charity. This means that it is also an act of piety to perform one's farz and obligatory Salah and give Zakah. The obligatory nature of these two actions has been discussed earlier. Allama Baydawi rahmatullah alayhi writes that first the recipients of zakat have been enumerated. Thereafter, the obligation of zakat itself is mentioned. He writes further that the possibility also exists that the recipients already mentioned are those to whom non-compulsory charity should be given. Then zakat is mentioned together with salah to specify its obligatory nature. The fulfilling of pledges. They fulfill their promises when making them. The Sharia of Islam lays great emphasis on fulfilling of pledges and promises. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that there were very few occasions when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say in his sermons, "Be aware, that person has no belief in Iman, who is not trustworthy, and the one who does not fulfill his promises has no deen and religion." Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That person is a genuine hypocrite in whom four traits are found. The one in whom one of these is present possesses one trait of hypocrisy until he discards it. He misappropriates something placed in his trust. He lies whenever he speaks. He deceives when making a promise. He swears when involved in a dispute." Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "There will be a flag for every deceiving person on the day of judgment. It will be announced that this is the flag of so and so person, by which each of them will be recognized." Sayyidina Abu Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "On the day of judgment, there will be a flag for every deceiving person, which will be placed in his posterior. The length of this flag will be proportionate to the deception which he perpetrated. Be aware, no deceiver can be worse than he who is a leader and deceives his subjects." Sayyidina Ma'khal ibn Yasar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, That person will not even smell the fragrance of Jannah, who, after being given the responsibility of seeing to the goodwill and well-being of a nation, does not discharge this responsibility. Another tradition reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The person who, after having been made leader of a group, dies without having seen to their goodwill, nor addressing their grievances, will have Jannah made forbidden unto him." Those people who attain various positions in government by making false promises to the people should think very carefully about these severe warnings when they fail to keep to their word. It is also incumbent to fulfill the promises made to non-believers. Should the situation arise where a pledge is made to a certain people, whereafter it is feared that they may breach the pledge, it is permissible to annul it. The precondition is that they should first be informed of it. After this has been done, further steps may be taken which contravene the pledge. Allah says in Surah Anfal, "Should you fear a breach of trust, then cast back to them their pledge in such a way that both parties are on an equal footing. Verily, Allah does not like those who break their agreements." Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "That person will not even get a whiff of the fragrance of Jannah who kills a person with whom he had undertaken a pledge for the safety of his life." The excellence of the patient ones, and are patient through hardship, adversity, and times of war. These people are also included amongst those who are pious and Allah-fearing. Those remaining steadfast on the battlefront are also included in this group. Allah says in Surah Anfal, "O you who believe, when you meet the enemy, remain firm and remember Allah in abundance so that you may be successful." Allah says in Surah Saf, "Verily Allah loves those who fight united in His cause, as if they were a wall strengthened by molten lead." Allah concludes the verse under discussion by saying, "These are the ones who have been chosen, who have chosen the path of truth, and they are the righteous ones. Those who have been described possess true belief in Iman, because they, together with the verbal declaration, carry out the requisites of belief in Iman. These are the people who possess true piety and taqwa, since they fulfill the commands of Allah and abstain from sins." Subhanallah, this was the explanation of the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about giving to the needy ones, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very highly of those who are firmly established on salah and zakah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends that verse with the excellence of the patient ones, those who are patient through hardship, adversity, and times of war. This very scenario regarding these people is being played out in the plains of Gaza, you know, where they are defending, you know, the honor of deen, and they are defending themselves from the zulm and oppression that is perpetrated upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares very, very clearly in the noble Quran that they are patient through hardship, adversity, and times of war. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their status. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them an immense reward for all the difficulties that they have endured and are enduring in the cause of this particular battle. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.